Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at the blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. Lord Gaul was my username when I fell in love with kickboxing, back when I was on the forums at Kakatugi, K1 USA, K1 Fans, etc., etc. Excuse me. I would edit that out, but whatever. Let's ride. And also, you're listening to this podcast in the most efficient way, which is by entering Warman Kickfighting Show into your iTunes search engine, and the show pops right up. Short episode for you guys today. I'm working a lot of fights. I've got a fight this weekend in Miami, and I've got another fight to work this weekend, or the following weekend in Sweden. So I will do my best to get this episode up to you, and then I'll do another one on Monday. Well, I guess I could do it while I'm out there in Sweden, but anyways, I'm going to go ahead and get this up to you guys so that you will have your kickboxing fixed for the weekend. She's going to go ahead and be about 30 minutes or less, but I want to give you a short little breakdown of what's going on in the combat sports world. I'm just going to talk about two cards today. First of all, we're going to look at Kunlun 61, which down, Yotsen Clyde being the big star there. Won't talk about the whole card, but I'm going to talk about some of the main notables. Wing Ninghu gets a victory over Hector Santiago. Ninghu is a solid fighter. I'd like to see him compete a little bit more. And, of course, the gauge of competition will go up as he fights for the brand. But I think he's a very, very solid guy for the promotion. Wing Fung gets a victory over Vladimir Lejian. And I believe that was, that was a KO in round one, 150. Pretty much a blowout win there. I've seen Wang fight a couple times. Just a guy that I need to see more from, you know, talented, need to see more from him. I've seen him more than I've seen Wing, but, you know, as they do a better job of bringing higher opposition in. Vladimir Lejian is not what I would call a elite guy in any, you know, facet of the words. He's just a guy who's working and getting, you know, better, working on his craft to get an international opportunity. But Wenfeng is a solid guy he's got the potential to be an all right fighter. Not as high as some of the other guys that I like from China, but I think that he's a solid name. Going to continue to move through this card. I want to talk about, before I get to tournaments, I'm trying to look at the standalone fights. Zhang Dezhang, I've talked about him several times. He gets a victory over Chris Turingham. That was in the 70kg tournament part. I guess I am at the tournaments now. I see it. There's a couple more single fights I wanted to talk about before I got into that one. Sorry, folks, I don't know if you guys noticed there was a little glitch that was happening when I was, you know, doing my recording, but hopefully I get it all fixed up now. Please forgive the slight hesitation in action, but anyways, Julio Lobo gets a victory over Lee Yunkon. Lobo, solid, still got to see a lot more before I have any, you know, projections for down the road from this guy, but for the most part, that does it for the single fights that I wanted to talk about. Most of this card, as you guys know, are four-man tournaments. That's how Kunlun gets down. They do a bunch of four-individual tournaments, and then that feeds into a bigger field. So we're going to go ahead and jump into some of that right now. A lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff from this card. A lot of things to pay attention to as far as international kickboxing goes, guys who will compete at a high level down the road. I will go ahead and talk about the 70-kilogram tournament first. Zhang Dezhang defeats Chris Turingham. He gets a decision victory there. Zhang is solid. I've seen him fight several times. I actually really, really enjoy his skill set. I think he's a pretty tough guy. And then I have the other tournament was Dang Li. He gets a victory over Giovanni Boyer. Actually, that was that was the reserve bout, which we didn't need. Safula Hambakadov gets a victory over William Diener. This version of William Diener is a game guy who will come in and compete, but Hambakadov is a guy who's been competing at, you know, and growing better in his craft. He's a name that's moving forward, whereas Diener is a name that's kind of hanging around. Won't say going down, because there was never really a period of time where I'd say Diener was just an absolute killer at the elite level. Diener has always been a guy who will give you the hardest fight at whatever level you compete at. So I've always really seen him in terms of the level of effort and the level of professional resistance that he brings into a fight. I see him there more than I've ever seen him as one of the elite guys at 70 kgs. But he is a guy who had a really good career. He had some really cool upsets. He was, you know, Gago Drago's biggest foil, even when Drago was hot. Diedrich had a great run. But Khambakhachev, just they're going in two different, you know, directions. And Khambakhachev is a guy to watch moving forward. Zhang DeZhang then gets a victory over Saifullah Khambakhachev, who, again, he's game, but DeZhang is pretty tough. You know, I've seen this kid fight a few times. He's a tough guy. I want to see more from him down the road. He is proof of just another rising star in China who's, you know, in a very short period of time. I was talking to Ryan Scully about this a week ago. China's gotten so good in kickboxing in a very short period of time, and I think that it really kind of caught fire with them promoter-wise, I'd say 2009, 2010, 2011, and it just took them a while, but, you know, some better, you know, coaching came in there and adapting a kickboxing with some of the Thai techniques, and of course they've got the, you know, the throws already because of some of their own traditional martial arts. But man, I really, really enjoyed the you know, DeZhang and the offense that he brings. Next tournament I'm going to talk about it was kind of a standalone. It's part of the women's tournament. The women's tournaments were kind of broken up, but these girls did not have earlier bouts, just kind of a continuation of a tournament, and in some places just a different start. Majeni, I believe it's pronounced Madjeni, Madjene. Leticia fights and gets a big time victory over ranked fighter Anissa Hadeau. Leticia is legit. She's very talented. She's another French female fighter who, of course, there's a lot of elite French female fighters coming out nowadays. There's a lot of high-level girls getting good opportunities. She actually comes from what you would more consider a waist-high kickboxing or international kickboxing rules, where they usually have an amount of kicks that they have to perform in every round. And just the offense was too much for Anissa Hadeau, who's a really solid Dutch kickboxer. So this is a really, really big win for Leticia. It kind of, you know, it's the kind of win that puts you on the scene and makes me take note of you. And as a person who really pays attention to women's combat sports and women's kickboxing and Muay Thai in particular, I would not have picked Leticia to win this going in. So this is a big win. Too much offense. Boxing's always been really, really solid. Her kick game, I think, is solid, but I think that her boxing is the thing that gives her a separation over a lot of girls in the division. So good stuff for her and good victory there. Wang Yihan gets her best test, I'd say, since fighting. We could even go all the way back to, you know, her fight of the year-esque war that she had in, oh man, I'm trying to remember the year that was. Well, it was 3 years ago, I believe it was, with Jemima Betrain. But anyways, when she was in the fight with Jemima Betrain, she lost the next round decision, but it was an all-out battle. It was a war. Wang Yihan had another very, very tough outing with Anka Van Gestel, who is a top female fighter in the world. She's got some good wins and she's got some good losses, but her losses usually come to the elite of the elite. But Anka Van Gestel was a, you know, rightful Infusion champion, put on, you know, some very, very exciting fights. Her fight with Iona Wynes is an awesome all-action battle. Wang Yihan proving that she's one of the better fighters in the world. And she's beating girls, she's stopping girls, and she's fighting consistently. She just fought. I just talked about her like 3 weeks ago. So she's getting in there, and now that she's back from her injury, she's trying to fight and move forward. So big time win for her, and I'm excited to see her compete more down the road. I will go ahead and wrap this card up by talking about the last tournament on the card as we talk again. This is at 70 kgs, just a different part of the group. We have Suichihiro Miyakashi as he gets a victory over Robeson Minotino, who he stops and by TKO. Miyakoshi is a guy I've seen fight several times, seen him fight in Japan, and I've seen him fight in international circuit. He's fought, I want to say, if I remember correctly, he fought for Thai Fight back in the day a couple of times. So definitely a good fighter. The other side of the bracket, Yotsen Clive Fairtex. So that's all you need to know about who's going to win this tournament. Yotsen Clive Fairtex goes out there, puts on a really good performance against Cedric Manhoff. Yosenglai allows a lot of the offense. You know, sometimes he just kind of plays behind a guard while he waits, or he plays the counter, and he allowed Cedric Menoff to get offensive in spots where Cedric would let his hands go, connect here and there. Not all the way, you know, clean, big-time, devastating shots, but some clean, solid connects here and there. But for the most part, too big, too strong for Yosenglai Fairtex, who competed most of, you know, his what you would call his prime at bigger weights, are competing against bigger guys. You know, he won the, I want to say the It's Showtime show was done at 72.5 kgs, I want to say, around 160 pounds, I believe. So we'll see where that goes. Definitely good stuff for Yosenglai here. And then Yosenglai goes on to beat Soichihiro Miyukashi in the final. One-sided on all the cards, 30-27. And they, Kunlun, like Glory, do the five-judge system. So definitely good stuff by Yosenglai. And you know, it's one of those things where I start to ask myself the question, who do I believe is the new star that has the skill and ability of the guys that we saw from 2000 to 2010? And I don't know if I feel any of those guys are there yet. I don't think that any of those guys, even today, if you were to put Bukau in a major kickboxing tournament at 70 kgs, I would lean for Bukau, you know, no matter who it was, no matter who the tournament field was. If you were to put Petrosian in an eight-man field, I would lean towards Petrosian. We are in 2000, you know, we're in 2017, so we've had 7 years to develop that next elite kickboxer, and I don't know if I've seen anybody as good as what we saw from 2000 to 2010. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see if we can get one of those names to emerge. Now, again, there's some really good athletes out there, guys who can, you know, with the opportunity, maybe they make it happen. But as of right now, I really don't see anybody that level of special just yet. So for Yosenglai Fairtex at this stage in his career to still have high level success, he's pretty amazing. So, goes out there, does the thing, gets a big time victory, and that wraps up my coverage of the Kunlun fight. That takes me to Glory. Glory's going down this weekend. Want to make sure I get you guys your Glory preview. We'll go ahead and start off with the welterweights as Mirko Grunhardt takes on Alan Shanson. This has nothing to do with Alan Shanson. He's a solid fighter. This is a big-time opportunity for him. But right now, Mirko Grunhardt is on his game. Like, he is aggressive. He is looking to stop guys. He's fought in Glory for a very long time, meaning he's fought high-level opposition for a very, very long time. You know, he's got his losses. You know, he's got his losses. I believe his total record is, like, 7-6 or something like that in Glory. But there are some of those losses were at smaller weights, and he's avenged a lot of, you know, some of those opportunities. Not to mention the Nicky Holzkin fights. There are arguments that he could have won, you know, all of them being by decisions. And you can make the argument that he really made a case for him in a lot of those fights. He's a good fighter, really brings the show. But his victory over Tongchai, that kind of surprised me, man. I'll go ahead and say it because he stopped him. And I was not expecting him to stop him. And he blew him out. Johan Kangulu, good victory. Kareem Bunmunsar stopped him. He's a good fighter, and I just think that he's aggressive. He would like the opportunity to fight for the title again. He's excited now that he sees that it's Cedric Doumbé. Upset that he had the loss to him last year where Cedric Doumbé got in his head, made him fight like a madman, and Cedric Doumbé fought for points. And if he can stay composed, Mirko Grunhardt gets a victory very, very easily here. But, you know, Alan Shanson is going to go out there and look to show why he belongs at this level. I think it's going to be a decent fight, but I've got Grunhardt winning probably by stoppage. Zakaria Zoghori gets his big-time opportunity. He fought for it Showtime, or excuse me, Infusion last year. Was that earlier this year? Yeah, that was February. So he fought, and he lost to Ilias Boulayed, but it was an awesome fight. And Zoghori had some really, really good moments. If you just got rid of some of the jumping, spinning stuff that he was doing, I thought that his consistent kickboxing makes him one of the better fighters on the planet, period. And what he did when he fought in shootboxing champion, you know, was robbed once. He could be a two-time shootboxing champion if it wasn't for some of the decisions that didn't go his way. But he's an all-action kickboxer, and if I had an all-action team for the sport when it looks like it's at its absolute best. The best reflection of it, you guys heard me talk about it when I was talking about Jauncey a couple weeks ago. It's not just that these guys are out there competing hard, but when you watch their kickboxing, you feel like they are the best representation of the sport. The sport, when the dance of the boxing and the kicks and the knees are done at the highest level, there is like a rhythm to it, and it just looks amazing. And that's what I was talking about with Jauncey a couple weeks ago. Zoghari is who I'm talking about now. He is very, very talented, and he's got the combo flow down. Yekin Oskul is a very solid fighter who's been in the game for a while. He has a really, really good fight with Mousab Amrani back in the day, if I'm remembering correctly. He's going to go out there, and he's going to put up good effort, and it's going to be a good fight. But I really like Zoghari to outscore him in what I think is going to be the fight of the card. I really think this is going to be super entertaining. If Oskul is still durable enough to go deep into the fight, I think that it's going to be a very entertaining scrap. Now, again, he's pretty much making what would be his glory debut, but does not mean that he hasn't faced really good opposition, because as a guy who's fought in Holland a lot, you just kind of get it just by default. So, good stuff there. Tijari Bestati continues to move as he goes against Yusuf Asuik. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. This, of course, is about moving Bestati. And I think that Bestati, 19 going on 20, if he's not 20 already. Very, very talented. Very tall for the weight class. Good kickboxing flow. Decent power for a guy that with his frame, will probably grow into a bigger body down the road. I think when he finally settles in, he'll probably be more of a welterweight. But he's a talented dude, and I'm excited to see what comes from him. This is another outing. This is a showcase for him. Clearly, Yusuf has the tools to challenge him and maybe in spots land something significant, because, Bestati isn't a defensive wizard. But I think Bestati is really going to send the message in this one. I think that he will get a stoppage in the second round. We move on to a title fight that they have kind of in the middle. So it's like, as I go down the card, I could be reading it wrong, but I have title fight, and then I have light heavyweight fight, and then I have heavyweight fight. That's how I read it as far as how my list is, but I'll go ahead and just go off of it. Robin van Roosmalen gets to go against Petr Puntermaerong, Kiet Mun Kau. Petr Puntermaerong, of course, is a guy who really won, his last glory outing with one kick. He won the tournament, and he was able to just blast away with the left leg, blast away. He's a powerful guy. He's fought for glory 3 times now. 2 decisions and a split decision. Adam Chuck, very slick, had some really competitive moments. But the victory went to Petr Puntermaerong. So, of course, you get Robin van Roosmalen, and you're like, Robin, who should be the rightful champion? He just missed weight, and that's why he didn't get the opportunity to fight for the title before. That's why he's stripped of the title, and now he's trying to win back the title that he had before. He brings more offensive tools to the party. More boxing, more low kicks, more pressure, more knees in space, and so on. Kiet Mun Kau is going to keep distance and start hammering away with that body kick. So if Robin can catch and fire off of it, he'll be in good shape. If it keeps disrupting him and taking him off, because he is not Sidichai. So do not go. Some people are thinking, oh man, this is another style matchup very similar to Sidichai. No, Sidichai can box. Like, he can put it all together. Sidichai is not just a guy who powers away with that body kick. He can do it, but he can really put his hands together well. I think Robin van Roosmalen is going to win this one easier than a lot of people feel. Like, it's a style that's not fun for him, but I think that he's going to win it a lot clearer than most people are saying going into it. I got Robin van Roosmalen beating Petr Puntermaerong. I think it'll be scores like 49-46, but it should be an entertaining scrap also, more entertaining than many people will think. Moving forward, this is controversial because Michael Duhut is coming off of a KO loss to Fred Seeking, where he was dropped several times and just out. He did not for 1 second show any signs of not competing in this card as he gets Murad Buzidi. Now, Murad Buzidi's older, so maybe there's some opportunity for him there. But if you were to go, if you were to ask me, I personally do not like Michael Duhut fighting in this one. You get stopped, you got to take some time off. And he was stopped not even, a month ago. So Duhut, and I was saying it's the most Duhut thing ever for him to have what would be a fight where you don't challenge his heart at all, and he comes back and he has a big-time win, over Daniel Yunga. then he goes against Fred Sicking, and you know, pretty much Sicking catches fire early and gets him out of there early. You go from that situation to fighting Murad Buzidi very, very shortly. And it's crazy because dude's got the tools to have success against Buzidi. I'm not saying that he doesn't. Dude has always been a guy where you're like, man, sometimes his kickboxing comes together well. Sometimes he can land his big shots. Sometimes he's got that mentality, that attitude to go out there and have a lot of success. And sometimes you're like, who is this guy? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you're like, what happened? Sometimes it seems like it's a heart issue. Murad Buzidi is never a heart issue. He's going to go out there, give you his best effort. He's fought the best in the world, literally every best in the world I can possibly think of. You know, to the best of my ability, I think Buzidi fought them at some period of time, whether at heavyweight or will be light heavyweight. He's really fought, I mean, I won't say all of them, I'll say a good majority of them. I think Buzidi wins this one. I think his kickboxing is clean, but more importantly, if he can land something on Dude, if your head's not right, it's not a good thing to be in there, and I'm not sure that Dude's all the way recovered. Does Dude have the ability to win this fight? Of course he does, but it's definitely one of those that I would be a little bit slower to pick. Moving forward, I'm going to go ahead and finish this card off with Ismael Lazar as he takes on Rico Verhierven. This is a big, big opportunity for, you know, Ismael Lazar. Ismael Lazar fought Wilness in his last heavyweight, you know, the bigger Wilness, in his last heavyweight outing against the glory level fighter, and Wilness beat him clear. And I think with this one, it's Rico Verhierven's the best heavyweight kickboxer on the planet. But Lazar does have the ability to just start throwing his overhand shots. He's got the right kind of aggression, and he's got a decent low kick. But Rico Verhierven's just a better kickboxer, period. So as long as Rico doesn't get hit with nothing crazy, he should beat Lazar very, very clear. I don't know. This should not be for the title. I'm pretty sure it's not for the title. But I'm hoping that Rico Verhierven is able to put together the kind of clean performance that will get eyes to take note. You know, that you know, okay, now let's go. This is kind of a middle-of-the-road fight. It's not one any of the fights that I wanted. There are just too many people with opportunities that I thought Ismael Lant, he had earned a title shot. He lost it, but he should still be fighting him instead of Lazar, you know? So, of course, there's some controversy there, him waiting on the Hari fight, him asking about the Rimbomjowski fight. There are some interesting options for Verhierven. Lazar wasn't one of those options. So Lazar getting this fight is a big opportunity for him. It's good for the Infusion brand if he gets a win, but I still think Rico Verhierven, the better kickboxer, clearly will get the victory here. Got a heavyweight contenders tournament. I got D'Angelo Marshall, who had a lot of success for Super Combat brand, as he takes on Muhammad Abdallah. Abdallah's solid. I'm going to go ahead and lean Marshall. I feel like he is proven against a higher level of opposition. Abdallah's not that, like, again, he's a talented dude, but I lean for Marshall to have success in this one. He's a strong guy. He's kind of moving up. He's more of a light heavyweight for a lot of his career, around that age. So never a guy who I recall fighting, you know, 240 pounds, but he's been, you know, around the 220-ish, 210-ish range in some of his fights in the past. So I think Marshall wins that one. Then we have Giannis Stafordis as he takes on Anderson Broderick Silva. This is another weird one because Anderson Broderick Silva is, you know, the better kickboxer who's won against high-level opposition. Like, he's just, that's clear. And yet, I really do think that Giannis Stafordis is a solid guy. He could really pull off this upset. It'd be an upset just in terms of name notoriety. I want to be brave enough to pick that upset, but I'm going to go ahead and go with Anderson Broderick Silva because of these four guys, I feel he's the best kickboxer. I feel he goes on to beat Marshall in the final. And I don't know what they do with him because it's a heavyweight. So I don't know who they put him against. I don't know what matchups work. I just know that he's going to win. And then all of a sudden we'll have, you know, Ismael Lant, we'll have Silva, we'll have Adegbuyi, all guys who've won four-man tournaments and should be fighting for the title, and none of them fighting for the title. We've got a super fight. It's Shang Long Zhang as he takes on Wilson Sanchez Mendez. Zhang is a guy who they are trying to continue their push into China, like they're getting ready to do a big time TV deal. And with that means that, you know, they're trying to showcase more Chinese athletes. A little surprised that this is on the main card. This is, you know, the other two Chinese fighters kind of, you know, fought on the fight pass portion of the card. But, I mean, I like the opportunity. This, to me, is kind of more of a showcase fight, not necessarily a standout fight in any stretch of the imagination. So we'll see where it goes. And I've got Zhang because Mendez hasn't shown me enough. So I lean towards Zhang in this one. And even Zhang himself is kind of a newer guy. Go ahead and wrap the card up with a fight that, you know, Chad Lewis Perry, for the third time, his fight with Hezzy Hergus doesn't go down. I remember I was cracking a joke about it all going into the last fight that it wasn't going to happen. And then after weigh-ins, I was like, it looks like I was wrong. And then fight day, it didn't end up happening. Well, I found out very early on that this one wasn't happening. Last week, it was reported that they were looking for a replacement. And I like that Thomas Rahn was the replacement. Thomas Rahn is older. He doesn't have KO pop, but he's a good, savvy kickboxer who's been in this game for a long time. He's been in there with some of the best in the world. He fought for it Showtime. He's good. Like, he's a good fighter. He's not going to be Hezdy Higgins. Like I just think that Hezdy is a better fighter with, you know, more clean kickboxing and has done it against a higher level opposition with success. Haran is in a really great fight with Daniel Gita. Go look that up. Before he got stopped by Gita later, when he first met him, he had a really good and beat him. I was there, actually, for that one, which makes me feel a million years old, 2011. I watched Hezdy beat Gita, and he's very, very talented. He's got the combination of low kick flow down, and I think Haran is going to be, on short notice, is going to be a good opposition. They're going to show today's heavyweights at their best in terms of clean technical guys, whereas if you get somebody like Ismael Azar, he's going to show you heavyweights at maybe some of their most exciting moments because he throws those big overhand shots. But Haran and Hergis are going to be tactical, clean guys who put together clean combinations, who look for effective kickboxing with both the boxing and the low kicks and the step knees in close, and they're going to do it in a very tactical way. Some of the guys in the heyday, back in the 90s, some of those guys are throwing just wide haymakers, not clean kickboxing at all. So don't go thinking that all those guys were technicians. Some of them were throwing some looping overhand shots. Today's heavyweight's a lot more technical. Rico Verheeren, technical. Silva, technical. Hergis, technical. Okay? Clearly, we've got our Lazars, but most of that lineup is very, very technical. So thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast. I will be back. I'm trying to think. As I said before, Monday will be best if I do it before I fly out. I could also record in Sweden. But I want to thank you guys all for listening to the podcast. God bless and really have a good one. I really appreciate having you guys listening to my podcast. And for those who have been being with me consistently, it means a lot. So you guys have a good one. Peace.